You know, when we talk about services with the staff, as we talk, one thing we don't ever plan, we never plan, God, would you just take it and go? And really, he does inhabit our praises. And I just thank our team so much for what they've done today. Thank you so much for being involved in small groups. And I do echo everything that John said. It is so important to come together, to share life together. You know, we started last week, talking about posing the question, who do you trust? And there's a reason for that. Because it's far too often we become deceived and we place our trust in things that are untrustworthy. And some of us have learned the hard way. We placed our trust in something and it hadn't panned out well. But we know that in our head that God is trustworthy, but many times our actions speak differently. Remember from last week, the definition of trust is reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, provision, protection, etc. of a person or thing. I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that God is trustworthy in all situations, no exceptions at all. As we talk about trust, the real question we must answer for our life is who has control over our life, or what controls your life? That'll show who or what you trust. Today the question is, do you trust self? Self, S-E-L-F. You know, I know as a young man, I thought I could do anything. I didn't need anybody for anything. And the older I've gotten, the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I realize what I don't have, and the more God wants to do things through me outside of my abilities. So it's really a good place to be. But you know that most businesses have stockholders, which are the owners of the business. The more shares of stock they own, the more authority they have in that business. Now, 50-50 partnerships might sound healthy and logical, but there's a danger in that because that means that no one has the majority ownership. Therefore, there is a stalemate in the decision-making process many times. Now, I don't mean that every 50-50 is not going to work, but a lot of them don't. Now, if a shareholder has at least 51% of the shares, they have what's called controlling interest. That clarifies things. They are the boss. In this one verse from last week, we see that David desires that God has controlling interest in his life. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. David is saying, God, I want to give you controlling interest in my life. Now, there are a lot of things in life that vie for controlling interest in our lives, don't you think? Our job, our money, our social status, our family, our hobbies, or various other people or things. You see, it could be anything that you allow to control your life. One of the top contenders is self. The Bible will call that our flesh. Now, far too many of God's creations have made self the thing that has controlling interest in their life. Now, the world has all kinds of sayings to support us allowing self to have the controlling interest in our lives. Do whatever makes you happy. Live for today. Get all you can from life. Be all you can be. If it's right for you, then it's right. If it feels good, do it. Love the one you're with. Don't worry. Be happy. See, there's all kinds of sayings that are saying, if you want self to have controlling interest in your life, do these things. And some of those aren't necessarily bad things, but if they are controlling our lives, then they're not what God would want. You see, the enemy wants us to believe that self should have the controlling interest in our life. Self should have total authority in our lives. Self should be our guiding force. And according to God's word, that can't be further from the truth. It's not only untrue, it's unwise, It's unhealthy, and it is disastrous. Giving self controlling interest in our lives is one of the unhealthiest decisions we could ever make. Why? Because it goes against everything God has intended for His creations. Giving self controlling interest in your life is a recipe for disaster. It's dangerous and will bring you lots of trouble. I can promise you that. Now, there's a scripture in Galatians 2:20. I didn't put a slide together, but I want you to think about this when we think about self. The declaration we make when we come to Jesus is, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Listen to Paul's warning to the church of Philippi in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. If you've given self controlling interest in your life, everything you do is out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You can't help it. And you can't help it because you have believed a lie from the enemy. But God has a better way for you to live, for me to live. Giving Him controlling interest in our life is the best way. Listen to these words that should be our mantra in life. As a Jesus follower in James chapter 4, 7 through 10. So humble yourself before God. The Amplified Version says, submit yourself to the authority of God. Brian would tell you, give Him controlling interest. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner. Sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. What we need to grasp is where self-importance actually comes from. 1 John 2:16. For all that's in the world, the lust and the sensual cravings of the flesh, and the lust and the longing of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources, or the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but they're from the world. If the enemy can convince us that we are the ones that matter most, then giving self the controlling interest in our life becomes automatic. Jesus is our model. Jesus is the one we should emulate. Jesus is the one we should copy. When the religious leaders challenged Jesus about healing a man on the Sabbath, doing the ultimate of what Jesus can do, listen to His response in John 5:19. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, a son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In other words, God has controlling interest in Jesus, and Jesus makes it clear. And as the old saying says, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's good for Jesus, it is good for us. The world system is corrupt. And without something stronger than that, something eternal in control of our life, we become like the world. And when we become like the world, guess what? We lose our saltiness and our brilliance. Listen to this beautiful prayer that Jesus prayed for His disciples. And you'll see that it's not only for them, it's for us too. In John 17, starting in verse 14. He's speaking to God, I have given them, my followers, your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. Just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. This is Jesus speaking. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy. by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, talking about those who were actually following him right then, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me as much as you love them as much as you love me. Think about that for a moment. God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. And then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed this. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I in them. You see, Jesus has made a way for us to allow him to have controlling interest in our lives. Jesus made the way. We don't have to create the way. The way has already been made. Listen to Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken down and without walls, leaving it unprotected, is one who has no self-control over his spirit. And that is no control over self. And sets themselves up for trouble. What kind of trouble, you might ask? Paul's very clear what this trouble is in Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, it's what yourself desires, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, control of self. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him. That's our self. We are to nail our self to the cross. Since we are living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Here's the challenge. We must nail ourselves to the cross. And the truth is, we like ourselves, don't we? We've gotten used to ourselves. Ourselves is part of us. It's not easy to nail ourselves to the cross, but it's so worth it. What do you think would have happened to Noah and his family if he had allowed self to have controlling interest in his life? What do you think would happen to Joseph and his family if he had allowed self to have the controlling interest in his life? What do you think would have happened to God's army if David had allowed self to have controlling interest in his life? What do you think would have happened to the prodigal son if his father let self have controlling interest in his life? What do you think would have happened to the dying man on the road to Jericho if the Samaritan would have let self have controlling interest in his life? Now let's think about Jesus. What do you think would have happened to the woman caught in adultery if Jesus would have let self have controlling interest in his life? What do you think would have happened to the woman at the well if Jesus would have let self have controlling interest in his life? What do you think will happen to you or to me if we allow self to continue to be the controller of our life? Listen, Matthew 6:33 is so important for us to constantly keep on our mind. But first and foremost importantly, and most importantly, seek, which means aim at and strive after, His kingdom and His righteousness, which is His way of doing and being right, which is the attitude and the character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. Listen, we don't have to worry about everything else if we are allowing God to have controlling interest in our life. When we nail ourselves to the cross, we're giving God controlling interest in our life. And that sets us on the trajectory toward His original plan for our life. Then and only then will we experience what Jesus came for us to have and enjoy, which is life to the full, which is life overflowing, which is the abundant life according to John 10:10. And get this, you will never enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came for you to have if you have made self the majority shareholder, the controlling interest in your life. Today, let's give Jesus all the stock in our life. Today, let's trust Jesus with everything we have. Let's not give anything or anyone but Jesus controlling interest in our life. Listen to this in Mark 8, starting in verse 31. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later He would rise from the dead. And He talked about this openly with His disciples. And Peter took Him aside and began to reprimand Him. Can you imagine reprimanding Jesus? But sometimes we do that. But Peter took Him aside and began to reprimand Him for saying such things. And Jesus turned around and looked at His disciples and reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," He said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not God's." When self has a controlling interest in our life, we are only going to see things from a human point of view, not God's. But when God has a controlling interest in our life, we're going to see things from God's perspective. And then that we could call, it would cause us to make the same declaration as David did in Psalms 27. Some will trust in chariots, some will trust in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. We are going to make the Lord our God the controlling interest in our life. So the question is simply, who do you trust? What have you allowed to have controlling interest in your life other than God? That's a serious question. Because when we yield to the things of the enemy, we are saying, enemy, you have now the majority stockholder, you have the majority shares, and you have controlling interest. Every time we yield to the enemy, we have given him controlling interest in our life. And we know with our head that it's not going to end well. But we have to know from our heart, because it's out of our heart that guides us. But when we make Jesus the majority stockholder, that means that what He says goes. That means that He's got the best way, even if it doesn't look the best way. That means that even if it's dark, we can still trust Him. You know, I've managed people in business stuff, and then, of course, in churches, in the church too. And there are times that you may have to make hard decisions, and people around you may not really understand that. But guess what? If they trust you, they will go with you. And I'm not saying that you need to follow me. Please, don't hear that. You'll get in a lot of trouble. I'm saying that as I follow Jesus, as you follow Jesus, we can trust each other Because it's not in self that we're placing any authority, but it's in Jesus. Jesus is the majority stakeholder. He is the controlling interest. That's what he wants to be. And sometimes we have what's called, in some settings, floating stock. And we give that majority over here a little bit. And then sometimes we take it away and we give it over here. And there are different things that we yield our lives to. And we have given them the majority stock in our life. And that means they're the boss. You have to look at who you're trusting in life. You have to look at who you've given controlling interest to. And if it's not Jesus, you need to change it. If you want to do what you've been created to do. Now listen, if you don't want to follow Jesus, you're probably not going to see a need to do it. But if you want to follow him, there has to be this desire deep inside of us that wants to yield to him at every juncture. That doesn't want to give anyone else that floating majority that gives them authority in our life. So the question is, who do you trust? I want to end this morning by making four declarations, and I want them. I'll say them first, and then we'll say them all together. But I want you to say them, and I want you online to even say them in your home or wherever you are watching these broadcasts, because it will set the stage for God to remain the majority stockholder in your life. Number one, we're going to repeat it after I say it once. I choose to place my trust in the name of the Lord my God. Let's say it together. I choose to place my trust in the name of the Lord my God. Number two, I'm going to say it first. I will trust God with every aspect of my life. Let's say it together. I will trust God with every aspect of my life. Number three, I'll say it first. I choose to give God controlling interest in my life. Let's say it together. I choose to give God controlling interest in my life. And number four, I am God's possession and will live for him. I am God's possession and will live for him. Amen. You know what happens to the enemy when he hears us make these declarations? He hears this. Some might trust in horses and chariots, but I'll trust in the name of the Lord my God. The enemy hears that you're giving God the majority stockholding in your life. He is going to have controlling interest. And the enemy is going to be pretty fast at trying to taunt you otherwise. But you have to recognize the enemy. If it looks too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it is not from God. And there are a lot of good things in life. And if we yield to good things, that means we are making good things the majority stockholder in our life. And we don't want to fall for that. I don't want you to fall for the good things. No, these declarations that we've made are acknowledging that God is our major stockholder. In fact, he should have 99.9%. As long as he leaves us here, 0.1% of us still has to be a little flesh. But none of this just 51 for God. He wants everything. The Bible tells us that he has created us for his glory. He has created us to look like him, to act like him, to respond to people like him, to make decisions based on what he says is right. And that's how you know if you're a good follower, if you're following the boss. The one that has controlling interest. And as a kid, I would say, I would ask my mom, why didn't God just make us obey him? Like, why didn't he just make it happen? She said, because he wants a people that want to be his people. So you have to give him majority. You may have to make these declarations daily. Because the enemy will whisper something to your ear. And you'll say, well, maybe I can float these floating shares over to him for a minute and get that. And all of a sudden you're caught in a snare because that's who's controlling you. And Jesus wants to control you. He doesn't want a robot, but he wants you to do what he thinks is best. Why? Because he knows what's best. Because he created you. Because he's got a good plan for your life. Because he doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed in the things of God. And we can only succeed if we give him controlling interest in our life. Some of you may be challenged today about where you've given controlling interest. We're going to talk about the next couple weeks other areas that are vying for the majority stakeholder in our own life. But the enemy, and let me remind you, he is not this very benign character. He's out to kill you and steal from you and destroy you. No matter how he's pictured or portrayed what he's trying to lure you in, if it comes from him, the end of that road is death. But Jesus has come so that we may have life and have it to abundance. And you can only experience the abundant life of Jesus if he has controlling interest in your life. I hope you're challenged to look at who you're trusting and answer the question, who do I trust? Do I trust in self? And some of us do. We have days that we do. We lean on our own understanding when the Bible tells us very clearly not to. We've rationalized that, no, I can do this. I don't need God to do that. Listen, if you never need God, you're never going to need God. You really won't. And I thank God for the things that he puts in my lane that I can't naturally handle because I have given him controlling interest and it's up to him. See, the one with controlling interest is the responsible one. I don't want to be the responsible one. I've proven that. But I've given him controlling interest. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect. No, there are times when I shift some of those floating stocks over to someone else too. But I'm shortly convicted because God wants all of me. He doesn't want just a part of you. He doesn't want the Sunday part of you. He doesn't want just the small group part of you. He doesn't want the palatable part of you. He wants all of you. And he wants to have controlling interest because he knows what will happen if anything else does. If you have anything controlling your life other than God, you're on the trajectory to devastation. You don't want that. God doesn't want that for you, but he wants you to invite him to be the controlling interest in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,